Welcome back, 416, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT, Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And I'm joined now by Washington Times sports columnist Dan Daly. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Andy, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Saw your piece this morning called Playing on Edge is in RG3's DNA. Yeah, well, I can tell you it's stopping my heart when I watch him.
He makes it exciting, doesn't he?
Oh, man.
He's been getting a little banged up lately, and I think that's one of the things that people are concerned about. This is the second time he's had to leave a game after getting knocked around a bit. But it doesn't look like this knee injury, this ACL injury, or rather LCL injury, is going to be long-lasting, and he may even see some action Sunday. We'll have to see.
Yeah. You mentioned in your column, twice now he has silenced a crowd. Now, I wasn't there, and I was watching it on TV, but I imagine it really did get quiet, didn't it?
It's like what happens when somebody, like, falls down a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
The entire room goes quiet, you know?
Well, you know.
And, you know, I mean, he tried to play through it. You know, he limped off, missed the play, came back, threw a couple more passes that got him a little closer to the goal line, but realized after at that point that he was hurting the team and hurting himself more than he was helping things, so he got out of the game.
Yeah. You know, it was funny. I actually didn't expect to see him come back in the game. Were you shocked that he came right back in?
Not totally. He's such a competitive creature, and it was such an important game. I mean, you know, it kind of dictates, the culture of football kind of dictates, if you can breathe, you're going to play.
Yeah. It just said, looking back on it, it probably would have been a wiser move to keep him out of the game for the duration anyway. But, hey, that's Monday morning quarterback talking. All right. You know, he's sort of like, I don't know, I've been trying to get my hand around this. He's sort of like our baby. Everyone wants him to succeed and no one wants him to get hurt. They just want the end result, don't they?
Yeah, and it's a tough sport to be playing when people want that. And there's only so much you can do to protect the quarterback. In both instances where he's had to leave the game this year, once with a concussion against the Falcons and then the injury on Sunday against the Ravens, he was scrambling to try to make something happen on a play where his protection was breaking down. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, can you teach a guy over time to kind of rein in his competitive instincts and throw more balls away to just avoid the type of contact he's been receiving sometimes during the course of the game? Maybe. But, as I tried to argue in my article, a guy's playing style, a quarterback's playing style, tends to be more deeply ingrained than that. It's difficult to change some of these things.
Yeah. And I have to admit, I don't know how much I'd want him to change. You know, you love the competitive nature in the guy. And look, let's face it, you know, football's a tough sport. People do get hurt, and from time to time, he's going to be one of those guys. You know, I will admit this. I cringed when I saw the leg bend, you know, when they played it back in slow motion. In fact, I told Rich Campbell yesterday, I expected to see RG3 on the sideline standing with the help of crutches through the remainder of the season after I saw that.
Sure, especially when you consider the size of the guy who plowed into him. I mean, we're talking 335 pounds here. And, you know, it wasn't anything he could really prepare himself for. He's getting hit from an odd angle to begin with.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, the knee held up, thank God, as far as the Redskins are concerned.
Yeah. You had mentioned London Fletcher. I mean, here's a guy, he's been playing with a lot of pain. He's been dealing with it just about every single week, but he doesn't get the attention of an RG3, does he?
No, and it's interesting, and that's why I wanted to point it out, how people are paying an awful lot of attention to whether or not RG3 should be going back into a game late in the game and so forth and so on. And they're tending to forget that this sort of thing goes on all the time, and it's been going on with London Fletcher. I mean, he had what was described as balance issues about a month or so ago,
mm-hmm.
which followed a sort of a mild concussion, and they were concerned that he wasn't going to be able to play for a while. But he keeps getting himself out on the field, and there are a lot of things that play into that. He's got a long consecutive game streak that he wants to keep going, one of the longest in NFL history. And he's getting toward the end of his career, and he's really not sure how many more chances he's going to get at the playoffs. And all these things factor into whether a guy keeps trying to play through an injury or not, I think.
Yeah. I want to take it in a slightly different direction, and that was the outcome of the game. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of help that came to the Redskins very late in the game from people like Kirk Cousins, obviously, but also Richard Crawford's punt return to set up, the winning points. This kicker, this kid, Kai Forbath, I mean, he's outstanding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When you see things like that, it's when you say, you end up saying to yourself, this is why sports are great. This is why the NFL is a great league. Because you have stories like this that come up all the time, really, on all teams. A kicker like Kai Forbath, who was on the street a couple of months ago, didn't have a job and gets brought in for a tryout with a few other kickers, wins the tryout, and now he's kicked 14 in a row and helped them win two or three games, really.
Yeah.
And made longer field goals and made kicks under pressure. And this is his first time he's really gotten a chance to kick in the NFL. Unusual to start your career that way.
Yeah.
Usually young kickers go through a few ups and downs before they sort of stabilize and find their level.
Yeah.
You know, and Crawford was a guy who made the final roster, one of the draft picks this year, but had been inactive for 5 or 6 weeks, hadn't played. And as a matter of fact, that was one of the explanations he gave for why he kind of ran out of gas at the end of that punt return when all he had to beat was the punter. Just the fact that he hadn't been on the field that much and hadn't had a lot of speed work, and his legs just gave out on him.
Yeah. Tell me what your thoughts when you saw RG3 get hit. Did you have any idea the Redskins would win the game? Because I immediately thought the game was over and it wasn't going to come out, for the Redskins. It was going to come out for the Ravens.
Well, yeah. I mean, at the time that it happened, no, simply because they were at their own 40-yard line and they still had to convert a third and long. I think it was a third and seven that Cousins first had to deal with,
yeah.
which got resolved when they got that pass interference call, the first pass he threw, the first play he was in there.
Yeah.
You know, So at that point, you're thinking, geez, you know, this guy's going to have to come in cold. He hasn't even really had a couple of warm-up throws on the sideline. He's going to have to take him 60 yards against a veteran, experienced defense. This is awful tough. And then make the two-point conversion after that.
Yeah.
But when he went back in the game, they were much closer to the goal line at that point. They only needed to make about 25 or 30 yards, as I recall.
Yeah.
And it was a little more imaginable, but still amazing to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And that 2-point conversion, you just made me think of that because that just absolutely floored the Ravens. You could tell they were not ready for him running at all.
Oh, sure. And it was almost like the Redskins coaching staff was saying, let's pretend RG3 is in the game, even though he isn't, because the Ravens couldn't possibly anticipate that sort of thing.
Oh, man. And by the way, the Ravens, they're struggling a little bit right now, aren't they?
They are. I mean, they've lost a couple in a row. They lost at home to the Steelers. And really, the couple of games before that, one of them in particular, the overtime game against San Diego, where they had to convert a 4th and 29 just to stay alive at the end of regulation. That was a game that they probably should have lost. So they're kind of finding their way at this point. They've had some injuries. They didn't have Terrell Suggs on Sunday. They haven't had Ray Lewis for a while.
Yeah.
They lost Ladarius Webb earlier in the season. He's their best cornerback. So their defense, which has been the cornerstone of their team, has taken some hits.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can look at them as the strongest contender going into the AFC playoffs, whereas earlier in the season, after they beat the Patriots particularly, you might have thought they had a shot.
Yeah. And finally today, RG3, is he going to start Sunday?
No, it doesn't sound like it.
I mean, oh, really?
There are some vibes coming out. Pierre Garçon apparently did an interview with ESPN earlier today where he said something along the lines of, well, Kirk's going to be our starter.
Huh.
And then he sort of backtracked with the help of the guy doing the interview, and it became more of, well, it's still up in the air. So we're hearing different things. RG3's father has said, oh, don't worry, he's playing on Sunday. There was a report on that floated across Twitter that said that he was seen playing basketball at a gym somewhere and doing some light running. I guess Brett Favre suffered a similar injury, an LCL injury, when the Redskins played the Packers out in Green Bay back in 05, I think.
Yeah.
And he was able to get back on the field the next Sunday. Of course, he had a streak going, consecutive game streak going like London Fletcher does, so he had that motivation too. Huh. But I guess it's an injury that you can bounce back from fairly quickly, but like all injuries, it differs from individual to individual.
Well, this was a game, this Cleveland game coming up, this is one that the Redskins were expected to win. Cleveland's not very good this year, right?
They're not very good, but they're playing better, and they haven't been a bad home team at all. They've been 4-3 at home. I think this is a dangerous game for the Redskins if they think they have to play if they think they can get away playing at any lower level than they've played the last 4 weeks when they've won four in a row. A lot of Browns are playing for contracts next year. The coaching staff is probably gone because there's a new owner that's taken over the team during this season. But I mean, a lot of players are wondering, is there a place for me in this organization? So I think they have that motivation. And they have a rookie quarterback, Brandon Weeden, one of the guys who was taken in the first round this year after RG3.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gotten, progressively better, as all rookie quarterbacks do if you just leave him out there and let him play.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's a pushover game by any means. I think they're going to have to play pretty well to win. And if it ends up being that Kirk Cousins is their quarterback, they're going to need a nice game out of
it. Yep. All right, my friend, I enjoyed talking to you today, as always. Folks, if you haven't read it yet, check it out. It's in today's Washington Times. Playing on Edge is in RG3's DNA. It's by Dan Daly, Washington Times sports columnist. Thanks, Dan.
Anytime, Andy.
See you later. It's 4:28, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.